In the book of Hosea, if you got your Bibles, the 14th chapter of the book of Hosea, the first verse. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his root as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. From the book of Joel, the 28th verse of the second chapter, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillar of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. If you'll turn over to the book of Acts, you find the fulfillment of the prophetical words of Joel and the entire fulfillment of all that was prophesied by the old prophets. The Lord trying to tell us long before what would happen in the end time, that in the days when it came to pass, that we will have confidence, that we should have confidence in the existence of Christ, or the great eternal spirit, and that he had foretold all things through the mouth of his people. That way we don't have to wonder if there is a God. We don't have to wonder if there really is a God that knows all things. He says here, I'll work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though man declare it unto you. I brought this out the other night in some of our teachings and tried to point out how that just what the Lord was trying to do in this day and how that he wanted to gather the church in and make one body out of it. We find here in the book of Acts, he says that he would raise up a prophet. He said, it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet, said they shall be cut off from among the people. For I will bring forth a prophet like unto Moses. And of course, all of us know that that prophet was Jesus. And when Jesus came on the scene, Peter reminded them that at last the prophet like unto Moses had come, and that everyone that failed to hear that prophet was to be cut off from among the people. Now you could fail to hear Brother Branham, and you could fail to hear Brother Pike, and you could fail to hear a lot of other people. But it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet, he shall be cut off from among the people. There is no hope for him. A lot of people don't feel that Jesus was a prophet, but he was. The Bible calls him a prophet, not just the Messiah, but it calls him a prophet. He was actually a prophet. I was talking to a Jew not too long ago. I asked him, do you believe the Messiah is coming? And he said, we do. I said, well, that's good. And then he went on, he said, he will be Elijah or he will be Moses. We don't know who, but said Messiah will come. That's true that the Jews are looking for a Messiah. But to them, the Messiah is always a prophet. How do you know that? Israel is looking for a prophet. They're looking for the coming of the Messiah, but they are looking for a prophet because the only Messiah that they ever knew was Moses, who was their prophet. They recognized Elijah as the God prophet. They recognized Moses as the prophet of God. And when Jesus came, they said, we don't know about you. We know about Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses on the mount, said, but we don't know about you. And so it was that they couldn't accept Jesus because God had blinded them. God had cut them off that the Gentiles might come in. But there was to come a day when the days of the Gentiles would be finished. And at the end of the period of the time of the Gentiles, then God was to do to the Gentiles the same thing he did to the Jews. He was to cut off the Gentiles and turn back to the Jews. And so then, after all these many years, the year of 77 brings us down to the same amount of time that God dealt with Israel. The same amount of time for the Jews, the same amount of time for the Gentiles. And now we see everything shaping up for God to cut off the Gentile people the same way that he did the Jews. That means that something's about to take place. It shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. I wouldn't want to take a chance of bypassing the Word of God, trying to do things on my own and figure out things another way. I try so hard every day of my life to please God and to do what I feel God would have me to do. And I acknowledge the Lord in everything that I do. Every place that I go, I acknowledge the Lord because I know that he's the God prophet. And I know that whosoever fails to hear him shall be cut off from among the people. All nations that forget God shall be turned into hell, the Scripture says. Here we see that God sent a mouthpiece that was to tell us the ways of salvation, to make known unto us the ways of God, and that we was commanded of the Lord and of the prophets to receive him. I know that a lot of you don't understand what I'm saying tonight, but there's one thing for sure. There's something happening more than your eyes can behold. There's something that's taking place in the earth today. The Lord is doing something. He said, behold and wonder and despise ye wonders. For I will work a work in your day that ye shall in no wise believe, even though a man declare it unto you. I made the statement the other night that God always uses a man, Brother Gary. Always God uses a man. If you could show me any age since the foundation of the world where God ever failed to use a man when he came to visit his people, I'll change my entire ministry. God always uses a man. In the days of Adam, God created a man. In the days of Enoch, God had a man. In the days of Abraham, God had a man. In the days of Joseph, God had a man. And in the days of Moses, God had a man. In the days of Elijah, God had a man. And in the days of Peter, God had a man. And in the days of Paul, God had a man.
And in the days of William Branham, God had a man. And today, God still got a man. He's always had a man. God's always had a man. God works through a man. God always works through a man. I know that God is a spirit. I know that God is in the world somewhere. But I made the statement, if I went from here to California to look for God, where would I find him? I could go to the Baptist church, I could go to the Methodist church, I could go to the Pentecostal church, I could go to all the churches, I could go through Hollywood and everywhere else, but I couldn't find God, could I? I couldn't find God because God is a spirit. God is the invisible God. And if I ever located God, then I'd have to locate him in a human being. Is that right? If I could find somebody working miracles, somebody preaching the gospel, somebody anointed with the Spirit, then I could write back and I could say, folks, I found God. Is that right? If I go to Florida and I begin to look, I go from one part of its coast to another part of its coast, and I start looking for God, I won't find God, will I? Unless I find him in a human body. You know why? When Solomon built the great temple and everybody began to praise the temple, Solomon told him and God spoke and said, God is a spirit and God dwells not in temples made with hands. But the Bible said that ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God dwells within a man. He dwells within a human being. And I preach this morning that if anybody deny that the Holy Ghost lives inside of a human body, then that man is Antichrist. Is that right? God dwells in a human body. I praise God because I found the Messiah. When old Nathan ran over to the cave and Jesus came out and began to talk with him, and Jesus said, an Israelite indeed in whose mouth there is no guile. And he said to Jesus, he said, from whence do thou know me, Lord? And he said, I knew you while you was back over here under the fig tree. He said, I knew you then. And he ran off and he began to cry and shout out, I found the Messiah. I found the Messiah. Why did he say that? He said, because he's told me everything I ever knew. He said, is not this the Messiah? And so then they said, we have found the Messiah. And they all ran together because they had found a man, and in that man they had found God. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder tonight if you can find God. I wonder tonight if you know where God is. If I know where God is, they knew where God was. And tonight, I believe we know where God is, don't you? Hallelujah. God is within a man. And I'll raise up a prophet. And it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. What a prophet. They said a mighty prophet is risen up among us. What a prophet it was in the day that Jesus came forth. Every now and then there'll come forth a prophet. And then every now and then there'll come forth a mighty prophet. And they never said that Jesus was a prophet, but they said a mighty prophet has risen up before us. Now, I'm looking forward to God doing something, ain't you? I'm looking forward to God making a move in the earth like has never been made before. Now, I'm looking for a manifestation of something to be seen by the literal eye and something to be acknowledged by the human ear and understanding that has never been acknowledged or seen before. God is doing something like he never has. I'll work a work in your day. This is my day. I'll work a work in your day. A God prophet raised up. I spoke the other night concerning the blood, how that this God prophet came, how that all down through the ages, I spoke of how that they tried to kill out the royal seed. Everywhere you find places like the days of Jezebel, they were always trying to kill out the royal seed, trying to do something to corrupt the royal seed, to intermingle the seed with the corruption of men. But somehow or another, God's spirit was always present, and he was always watching over that royal bloodline, that bloodline that came all the way down through the ages. God would watch over it, and every time that Satan would strike at it, God would watch over it, because as the song said, he was bringing forth a man child, one that would rule the world with a rod of iron, bringing forth somebody, Brother Johnny, that knew what he was doing, the world waiting for the manifestation of the sons of the living God. governors, presidents, princes, great men are not like the sons of God. The story of Cinderella and Prince Charming was nothing. There's no Prince Charmings except the sons of God. They're the most beautiful, the most charming, the most outstanding, the most powerful, the most glorious people of all the earth. The great and mighty sons of God. The world is waiting for these sons to be made manifest. The Bible says they're more radiant than the noonday sun. They actually outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. Sons of God, great and mighty men of God, that will walk the earth like mighty men, and the entire earth will tremble as they begin to walk upon it. You know why? Because they're the master of all creation. All they've got to do is speak, and something begins to happen. The sons of God down through the ages, all they ever had to do was speak. When old brother Moses got ready for something to happen, he just looked out at the Red Sea and he said to the waters, he said, just separate. And the Bible said they rolled back. When old Joshua got ready to fight a battle, he just said to the sun, stand still. And the sun stood still. When Elijah got ready to fight a battle, he just said, Lord, send a little fire down and get this captain in his 50. Is that right? Everywhere the sons of God walk, everywhere they move, something great took place. It's the same way today. God is not short today concerning his promises. If them things happened for Elijah back there, what ought to happen for you and I? I say, I believe he ought to unlock the heavens for us, don't you? I believe that he ought to not stop with something like that, but I believe that God ought to unlock the heavens for us. I'll tell you what. This morning, the sermon that I ministered, if a person could get a hold of it and realize that God has but one attitude toward him, but one opinion of him, and that opinion was expressed in Calvary, that when a man is born again, that God never changes his opinion about him. He never changes his thoughts about him. But all of the days of a human being's life, God has one opinion, and that opinion is Calvary. That opinion is, I love you so much that I come down in tabernacle in a human body. And I love you so much that I'm willing to go to Calvary and let him pluck my beard. I'm willing to take the nails in my hand. I love you so much that I'm willing to come down from the lofty throne of heaven, come down into the earth and tabernacle in a human body to show my love for you. This is my opinion of you. This is my thoughts towards you. This is the way I want you to think. God wants you to think toward him. When Satan came into the garden, the thing he done, he got control of man's life and man's mind, and he diverted it. And man began to think toward fear, toward death, toward frustration, toward all of these evil things that became a middle wall of partition between his faith and between the spirit of life. And Jesus Christ came down to pay the penalty of the wrong, that he might convert man's mind from its diverted place and turn it back toward God, that he might believe with all of his heart in the grace and in the mercies of God. Today, all you've got to do is believe in the grace of God. Believe in the mercies of God. You say, well, I made a mistake yesterday. I done wrong yesterday. I did too. I've made mistakes. My yesterdays are full of mistakes. My yesterdays are full of faults. My yesterdays are full of failures. Yours is too. But my future is bright and shiny with a blood-stained path that leads from Calvary into the great world beyond. Hallelujah. There's a trail made by the footprints of the Savior, a bloody trail left that I might follow, a sanctified, a holy way. All of those things the Bible speaks of that I have failed in, he said, forgetting those things that are behind and pressing forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said, this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I forget those things that are behind. If you stumble, if you faltered, if you failed, then forget about it. Turn to God. Look to God. Start a new life. Start a new way. Find a new place in God. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Open up your spirit. and get a new place in God and begin to move out in the things of God. The most heart-crushing thing that I can think of is to spend your life for Satan, and then all of a sudden your eyes come open and you see the beauty of heaven and the good things of God and what you could have done with your life, and you see how you've wasted your life, and then you begin to think, oh God, if I just had to do over again, if I just had to do over. You know, I've spent over 20 years in preaching the gospel. I traveled from coast to coast preaching the gospel, just any way to be able to preach the gospel. But brother, when I look back, I wished I'd have spent 20 more. I wish today I had another 100 to spend for God. When I see the brightness of the future, and I see the need of souls, and I see them that's dying and lost and undone without God, I wish I had another 100 years to be able to give to my Creator. I'm sorry for every day I ever lost. I'm sorry for every hour I ever squandered away. I'm sorry for every moment that I ever give to the lust and desire of the human being. I wished I could take it all and erase it and go back and start all over and do 10 times 10 as much as I've done before. But in that I know that I can't do that, this I do. Paul said, I persecuted and wasted the church of God. He said, but this I do. I can't undo that. But this I do, forgetting those things that are behind. I'm ready to forget them. I'm ready to press forward. Hallelujah. I feel good, don't you? I said, I'm ready to forget them. I'm ready to press forward. Something is taking place. Ready to turn away from those things. Never to go back anymore to those things, but to look to the future. They got a song, Look to the Future. I'm looking to the future. The Lord come over one day and found Mary and Martha busy. Just as busy as they could be. And Martha, she was all encumbered with the cares of life and busy, you know, like people get building houses and planting gardens and laying up money and living it up in the flesh. And Martha, she was busy and complaining about Mary because Mary wouldn't help her with the things. Mary, she was over there by the feet of Jesus and was listening to the good things of God, and Martha was all upset about it. And Martha came along and said, Lord, said, make Mary do something. Make her help me. Said, make her help me. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art coming about a lot of things. The things that pertain to this life and to this world. He said, but Mary has chosen the better part. The part that shall not be taken away from her. She's chosen the better part. A lot of times folks will criticize you. They'll say, what are you doing over there? Why don't you get out somewhere? Why don't you make something of yourself? Why don't you get you a nice home? Why don't you buy some land? Why don't you get you a good education? But Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. It's better to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's better to learn the things of God. It's better to be spiritual. It's better to know the things that God's got for you. So then, a prophet was to come in the land. That prophet, that was the prophetical utterance. The prophets of old said, thus saith the Lord. You've murmured against Moses, thus saith the Lord. You've murmured against Elijah, thus saith the Lord. You've murmured against the leaders and prophets and priests, but thus saith the Lord. There shall come a day, saith God, that I will raise up a prophet in your midst, and he shall be a prophet like unto Moses, and it shall come to pass that whosoever faileth to hear this prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Thus saith the Lord, crying out all the way down. And when that prophet came, God blinded the eyes. Israel studied the scrolls. She studied the days. She studied the years. She waited. She watched. She tried every way to tell when that prophet was to come on the scene. They knew that the prophet was coming. They studied the scrolls. They watched for it. Like the PhDs of today. Take a preacher that's out of college. Some fellow that just got out of seminary. He's studying and he's watching and he's looking because he knows the Messiah is to come. But God confounds the wise and chooses the foolish and abased things of the world. The PhDs are looking and they're watching. The scribes, the Pharisees, the leaders, they look and they watch. And no doubt one would say to another, the wise men coming together said it must be close at hand. It must be close at hand. The prophet Joel said, thus and thus saith the Lord. And it seems to me like everything is falling into place. And he say, the prophecy of the Elijah said, thus saith the Lord. And it looks to me like everything is falling right into the very place that it was proposed to fall into at the coming of the birth of this child. For thus saith the Lord, a virgin shall conceive and be found with child and bring forth a man child that shall rule the world with a rod of iron. And they watched and they looked, but when the time came, they missed it. They missed it. They missed it. When he finally came on the scene and he was born, they criticized Mary. They said, a bastard child without a father. They made fun of her, but Mary held her integrity with God. And then the little child began to grow, and no doubt they mocked it, said evil things against it. But one day, as it began to grow, they found it as a little child about 12 years old, sitting over in the temple talking to the wise men, those that were supposed to know when it come. He sat down there before them, and they looked at him, and they talked with him. And there he was, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings, sitting in their midst and talking to them, and they still didn't know who it was. A little child shall lead them, the scripture had said. And there he was right in the midst of them, astounding the doctors and the lawyers and the great men, the wise men. Said, son, who are you? Where did you come from? Where did you get this kind of learning? How do you know that? I'm an old man. I've studied all these years. I'm one that's ancient in age. And the Bible said wisdom is with the ancient. And here you are telling me things I never heard before. I never heard anything like this. And a little babe shall lead them. They watched for the day. But when he came in their midst, and he sat down in the midst, and he began to astound the doctors and the lawyers and the PhDs, and they didn't know where it come from. And they said, where did you get this? They didn't recognize him. But he kept on going. Mary come and said, son, where have you been? Said, we've sought thee sorrowing. They had already journeyed a number of days, had come down to the feast, but they had journeyed a number of days without realizing that Jesus wasn't there. Isn't that a picture of the church today? The church has had their feast and had their parties, and now they started back. They think they're on their way home now. They say we're heading for heaven. We're on our way home. But the Bible said they journeyed a few days before they ever realized that Jesus wasn't in the midst of them. Hallelujah. Jesus had stayed back at Jerusalem and he wasn't in the midst of them. The church today's lost Jesus. They're going on with their parties, going on with their programs, and everything is the same as it was. But Jesus is not in the midst of them. They got a ritualistic, they got a formality, they got everything that heart could want. But Jesus isn't in the midst of them. And Mary said, son, said, where have you been? He said, know ye not that I was be about my father's business? And the Bible said she didn't understand. Said she just kept these things in her heart. And she pondered these things in her heart. Said she didn't understand. Mary didn't understand either. And he said, didn't you know I had some things to take care of for my father? And the Bible said he went back home and he was subject to him. And then about that time, that son, as he continued on to grow, he began to do other things that was more outstanding. And the Bible said he waxed strong in the spirit. He wasn't like some of our youth of today that was just tossed to and fro. He wasn't somebody that you could come up to and say, come on, boy, let's go get a little bit of dope or let's go get a little bit of booze and just take him by the ears and lead him off. The Bible said he waxed strong in the spirit. When somebody said something to him, it was like hitting a snag. It was like running into a rock. He made his own decisions. He didn't listen to somebody pulling at him. And that voice spoke to him. He moved. When God spoke to him, but somebody else could speak to him, it didn't faze him at all. And he grew. And the Bible said he waxed strong in the spirit. And he grew in stature and he grew in wisdom. And one day they found him down by the river Jordan, a grown man now. a grown man. The priesthood started 30 years old. He was a grown man. Here he was down at the river, and old brother John having a shouting good time. Old brother John had been in the wilderness, lived out there, eat locusts and wild honey, wore an old skin about him, and spent his entire life waiting for the Messiah. He spent all of his life waiting for the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah. All of his life he had spent. You remember that when Mary came near Elizabeth, the child was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb because both of them was with child. And the child leaped in the womb. But remember that the child had to go down into Egypt because a dream came to Joseph saying, flee down into Egypt, for Herod will seek the life of the young child. And the Bible said that there was weeping and wailing and crying because Herod had all of the babies killed. Hundreds of children, thousands of children. He took their life because he'd heard that a man child was coming. But he went down in Egypt. Little John was born. He went out into the wilderness. Isn't that something? Both of them at the same time. Little John was born. And little Jesus was born. And they had to take little Jesus down in Egypt. And here brother John went out in the wilderness. And he waited a long time on his ministry. You know, some people can't wait on your ministry. The Bible said, wait on your ministry. Some jump the gun. They've just got to go somewhere. And in a few days, they're backslid. Isn't that right? But he waited on his ministry. And while Jesus was over here in Egypt, here was John out in the wilderness. And old brother John, kind of peculiar fella, eating locusts and wild honey, running around with a skin on him. And one day, here comes John out of the wilderness. Boy, I'll tell you, that must have been a day. That must have been a day, see, because Israel knew that there had been a boy that had been born, and they knew that his daddy was a priest, and they knew that his daddy become dumb on the day that he was born, and they knew that prophecy came forth saying he was the forerunner the Most High, but he just disappeared in the wilderness. But one day, after many years, after Jesus had grown up, when Jesus was due to come back in that era, back in the eras of Jordan, and come back over in that country, all of a sudden, here come John coming out of the wilderness. Old brother John coming out with that camel skin about him. And folks begin to say, who is that? Somebody said, I don't know. Somebody said, I wonder who that feller is. And somebody said, hey, can you tell me who you are? He said, I'm the voice of one. I'm crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Lord, that shook him up. They couldn't get no answer out of him, and it shook him up. The old brother John, he probably got up on a stump or a rock down there, you know, like some of the political fellas used to do when they didn't have such fine places to give her speeches, giving a little soapbox talk. John probably climbed up on a stump or a rock over there and said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Somebody probably said, well, who is that old fanatic? And then after a while, somebody else to come, they come down to see who that old fanatic was. Then somebody else come down. And somebody else come down. And after a while, the Bible said the whole city had come out there to see a fellow with a camel skin about him. The whole city had come out there. And old brother John, he began to feel his ministry then. As the crowd began to collect, he never had preached to people, you know, like that. And as the crowd began to collect, he began to feel his ministry. And I can just picture him as he stood there, and he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. He said, you generation of vipers. He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? He said, you bring forth fruits that's meet for repentance. He said, don't say to yourselves that you have Abraham to your father. He said, God's able to raise up children from these stones unto Abraham. He said, don't say that. And they began to repent. And old John began to take them down in the muddy river, a foolish and a base thing of the world to confound the wise. They said, brother John, what can we do? He said, the time is at hand. Repent. The time is at hand. That shook them up. It scared them. The scholars had been watching, but they'd miss it. But old brother John, he'd been out in the wilderness. He wasn't a scholar, but he didn't miss it. He'd come out there. And I imagine some of them PhDs that grabbed their books, you know. And they run down there and they begin to figure. And say, wait a minute now. Old brother John, he began to say, repent, for the time is at hand. And they probably begin to flip through the pages, you know, begin to look and say, well, I just don't see that. There must be something wrong. And older brother John just kept on preaching. He said, make straight paths for yourself. He said, the time is at hand. And about that time up come the Lamb of God walking up to where John was. And John just had a fit. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Old John's about to have a spasm out there in the water. The Lamb of God standing on the bank. Ooh, my, my, my. That does something to me just to think about it. I can imagine what it done to John. John waited all of his life to introduce the Lamb of God. And God had then told him he's going to introduce the Lamb of God. And he was preaching, saying, repent, the time is at hand. And all of a sudden, up come that Lamb of God. And he stood there looking at John and John like the hat of fit. All the people couldn't figure out what was going on, you know. But John, he kept watching him. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus walked out and said, John, I want to be baptized. And old brother John, he fell down probably before him and said, oh Lord, he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me, Lord? How can I baptize the God of heaven and of earth? How can I do it? And he said, John, suffer to be so now. Said, it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. This is the plan of God. Said, suffer to be so. And old brother John went to take him down the water. And the Bible said the heavens opened up and a dove descended from heaven. The Spirit, God, the eternal Spirit in the form of a dove came down from heaven and began to come right over Jesus. The dove on the Lamb coming right over Jesus, and there began to light upon Jesus, and a voice said, this is my beloved Son. Hallelujah. In whom I am pleased to dwell. This is Him. Hallelujah. This is my beloved Son. And John baptized him, and that little Jesus began to confound the people. He went right on down into the wilderness, began to wrestle with the devil, and after about 40 days, he come out, had the victory, and the devil was defeated. And there's having a wedding somewhere, and Jesus went over to the wedding, and his mother said, we need some wine, son. He said, well, don't worry about nothing. Said, Mom, I'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Said, just get the water pots. And the Bible said they brought the water pots, and he turned the water into wine. Every bit of it, he turned it into wine. And as they begin to drink, they said, we never taste wine like this. Hallelujah. We've heard the PhDs and all the rest, but the best is for the last. I never drank wine like this in my life. They said they was drunk off of wine at Pentecost. But I'll tell you what, there wasn't no wine. There never has been any wine like the wine that he saved for the last. There's no wine like the wine that Jesus makes when he starts turning the waters into wine. We sang that song, Jesus turned water into wine. At the marriage supper, Jesus turned the water into wine. I believe this is the marriage supper, don't you? I believe that Jesus is turning the water into wine, don't you? I believe this is the move of God, and the thing that God's doing is getting the church ready for the rapture. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he began to preach, he began to work miracles, he began to speak. And they said, never man spake like this man before. Never man spake like this man. Said, for his words are with power, and his words are with authority. Never a man spake like this. The PhDs, when they talked, you know, it was please and will you come, and if you want to. And I think he ought to, but when he came along, he never said that at all. He said, repent or perish. He said, a generation of vipers. He said, I'll have to repent or perish. Jesus came preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. And the scribes came to him, and the Pharisees came to him, and the great men of old came to him, the great leaders came to him, and they cross-examined him, they talked with him, the best scholars in the land, but they were confounded.
They couldn't put their finger on what he was doing. They couldn't prove he was wrong. He talked with one, talked with another, but all of them were confounded.
Hallelujah. They came to him and they asked him some questions. Jesus just looked back at him and said, "You hypocrite." He said, "Why tempt thou me?" Scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law. Isn't that right? Doctors of divinity, PhDs, scribes and Pharisees. Amen. Perverting the law. Always perverting the law. Never trying to live right. The Bible said if these men had stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to have heard my word and to repented of their sins and to turned away from their sins. He said if they had took counsel of me, they would have preached an old time Holy Ghost gospel that would have caused them to turn away from their evil doings and away from their sins. They wouldn't have preached a social religion that told them they could continue on in the things of the world and the lust of the flesh. But Jesus said they would have preached the gospel and told them they had to turn away from their sins.
Boy, they were having a revival. I mean, they were having a revival. Then the baptizing got off on the disciples, and they began to baptize. And they were having a baptizing time. They were baptizing people. Then along come Peter. Along come Peter a little later at Pentecost. And he really told them what baptism meant. He really pointed out to them. After the Lord had left, he really told them what they had to do. But the same Jesus confounded the wise men. And he healed the sick. He made the lame to walk. The people marveled. And they said, "He does all things well." Even the little children would say, "Hosanna unto the Lord. Hosanna unto the Lord." And the PhDs and the scribes, it made them mad. They were angry. They were jealous. And they'd say things against them. Because the little children never said Hosanna unto them. But the Bible said they loved the salutations in the marketplaces and the long robes and to be called of men rabbi. But the little children didn't say that. But when the Messiah came in, they said, "Hosanna unto the Lord, Hosanna unto the Lord, Hosanna unto the Lord." And people would run and spread leaves and everything, palm bushes, you know, out there in the front of them, crying Hosanna. And some of them said, "Make those little old fellas shut up." Said, "Get them young'uns back out of the way." Jesus confounded them again. He said, "Have you never read in the scriptures that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings he hath perfected praise? Hosanna unto the Lord. Hosanna unto the Lord." They couldn't deny it. The time was at hand. Even though they couldn't get it to fit together with their programs, they couldn't get it to fit together with their church programs and the different things they had, yet they had to confess that it was the fulfillment of the scriptures. Somebody said, "He can't come yet. We ain't got our church paid for. There's several other things we got to do. We got some more plans. We got some parties and some protracted meetings. And we're going to have a youth crusade and a number of other things." Well, it couldn't be the coming of the Lord. But it just kept saying, "Hosanna unto the Lord. Hosanna unto the Lord." It said, "This day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears." Stood up in the temple. When he stand up in the temple and started to preach, the Bible said all of the eyes of the people was upon him. Every eye beheld him as he stood there. All of the eyes as he preached. The Bible said that evil spirits jumped up in people and people screamed out. And those that were possessed of the devil, they cried out and said, "Thou son of David, what have we to do with thee?" Jesus would say unto them, "Hold your peace and come out of him." The devils knew him. When he got around where they had people bound, evil spirits recognized him. And they'd rise up against him and try to cause him trouble and try to kill him and try to destroy his name and everything. But he'd just go right on casting out devils and healing the sick and doing good everywhere he went. That Jesus. One day the church folks got together. The church folks said, "We can't take no more of this. We can't stand any more of it." So that Jesus of Nazareth, that priest over there, he said, "I'll tell you." He said, "If we don't do something," said, "the whole world's gone after that fella." He said, "Everybody's running after him."
And the Bible said he, being a high priest, knew not that he prophesied when he made the statement, said it's better that one man should die than all of us die. That is, if Rome come and take away our nation. And the Bible said he didn't even know it. Even with his evil intentions, God was still preparing his heart to prophesy of the death of Jesus Christ, dying for the remission of sin. Said it better that one man die than all of us die. Rome will come and take away our liberties if we keep on. Said, for I perceive that all the world's gone after this man. The whole world. And they got together and they said, we can't take it no more. And somebody said, well, don't you know something wrong with him? He said, no, I can't find nothing wrong with him. He said, well, they're bound to be somewhere. Somebody somewhere knows something wrong with him. And he went to the next church and said, well, don't you know something wrong with him? No, I don't know nothing wrong with him. So they went over to the next priest and said, don't you know nothing wrong with him? He said, I don't know nothing wrong with him. He said, I just can't find nothing wrong with the fellow. He said, he does all things well. So then the priest said, well, ain't but one thing to do. We're just going to have to hire somebody here. We're just going to have to get some liars and deceivers and see if we can't get them together and put this fellow out of commission. And did you know, according to the scriptures, when they brought him into the judgment hall, and when they come to accuse him, and he stood there, the Bible said even their witness didn't even agree together. One said he's guilty of this, another said, no, he's guilty of this, and I said, no, he's guilty of this. And even they couldn't get together. You know why? The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And God wasn't going to let them establish nothing against Jesus, so even two of them couldn't even get together. God wouldn't even let two of them get together. Judas had betrayed him. 30 pieces of silver. Sitting at the supper. There he sat at the supper, betraying the Lord. I want you to see this tonight. Sitting at the supper. Did you know that this Judas had obtained part of the ministry? Did you know that same Judas had received the power to cast out devils and to work miracles? Did you know that that same Judas did not have the devil in him? Until he sat at the supper and he conceived his evil and planned his evil. And the Bible said when Jesus gave him the sop, then Satan entered into him. Is that right? A lot of times you keep on and maybe the devil hasn't entered into you. Maybe you've got a chance. Maybe you've got an opportunity. But you just keep on and after a while, oh, the devil, he enters into you. And then it's bad. The Bible said that Jesus gave Judas the sop, and when he did, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said, what thou doest, do quickly. And the Bible said Judas got up and went out into the dark. Isn't that right? When the devil enters into you, the first thing you do, you up out of the light of God and get upset and get mad, and you go right out into the darkness of the old carnal mind and start reasoning and grumbling and complaining. Isn't that right? That's exactly what happens. That's the first thing that happens to you. So then when Satan entered into Judas, he went out. And he did his evil. And the Bible said Jesus turned to him and said, brethren, it's time to go. He said, my time's at hand. They didn't know what he's talking about. He said, let's go out into the garden. And he walked out into the garden. And the Bible said in the darkness of night, they came with the torches. Having their torches. And Judas came up to him and betrayed him with a kiss. You know, I have a lot of people in the church. They put their arms around you and you trust them to be your friend. And nothing hurts worse than that. Somebody you've confided in, somebody who believes your friend. And then they come up and they betray you. They betray you like Kissinger's doing today, going from place to place, betraying the Israelites. That's what's happening today, like I brought out about the mark of the beast the other night. But they came with their torches. And Jesus knew him. And Jesus looked at Judas and said, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss, Judas? And it came up to him, and these men, when they came to him, these big soldiers, big Roman soldiers, coming up to him with their spears and their swords, him an innocent, just standing there, didn't have anything to defend himself with. But they shook in his presence, and they said, where's Jesus of Nazareth? He said, I am he. And they shook and they trembled, they stood there. And they said, we want to know where Jesus of Nazareth is. He said, I told you that I'm him. And finally, they waxed bold. And when they reached for him, it must have been old brother Peter. He come out of that shield with a sword and whacked one of them's ear off. He got upset. He got stirred up. When they started laying hands on the Messiah, he took his ear off. Jesus said, put away the sword. and he reached over and he healed the ear. Jesus restored it, and their hearts were still so hard that they couldn't recognize the divine, miraculous working power of God, and still took him down to Pilate's judgment hall. Old Brother Peter got afraid then. You know, a lot of people are brave until you have to get them into the place where Peter was. Somebody said, bless God, I'll knock his ears off. You know, I'll get my gun. I'll do this. I'll do that. But when you tell them they can't use the gun and they can't knock people's face off and they can't rise up and fight with their fists, that they have to stand there and be brave like a lamb and testify for God, then they get to shaking, you know. Oh, Brother Peter found out that he couldn't do it with a sword and he got scared. And the Bible said he followed the Lord afar off. That's the way some people do, you know. They get afar off. They get way back. They say, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a Church of God. I'm an Assembly of God. You know, get way back into this and start following instead of doing like they did in the early church. They said, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah. I'm a Christian, they said. That meant death, you know. You could say you belonged to the synagogue or anything else. But brother, when you said you was Christ-like, that meant the devil was after you. Isn't that right? Oh, Brother Peter started following afar off. It wasn't long. Don't you see this? Folks, you might be doing pretty good, but when you get to following afar off, you're going to get in trouble. Peter was doing real good until he started to backslide. 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 As Jesus walked, Peter drifted back. Got more afraid. As he got near that judgment, he got more afraid. The flesh got more afraid. And after a while, he was in a backslidden condition. Oh, Peter bragged about what he'd do. You know, a lot of people brag about what they'll do. He bragged about what he'd do. But when they come around, they said, hey, ain't you the fellow that was out there in the garden with him? He said, I don't know him. He started to deny him. Jesus had already told him, said, Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. Oh, Peter said, no, I'll never do it. I'll die with you first. He said, that's all right, Peter. I know what I'm speaking about. And about that time, the rooster crowed and Peter never noticed it. A little while, somebody else come by and said, hey, I saw you out there in the garden. No, I said, I don't know him. And the rooster crowed again. But Peter never noticed it. And then somebody else came by and said, hey, I know you, that you're a Galilean. Your speech gives you away. And old Peter began to curse and deny. Said, I never knew this man. About that time, the old rooster let out another yell and began to crow. And that time, God quickened it to Peter's heart. Old Peter began to weep and began to cry and went back out somewhere and began to pray. And he knew he'd backslid and knew that he denied God and never stood. But there was another voice that came to him. There was another remembrance. There was a voice that Peter, Satan desires to sift thee as one would sift wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your strength fail not. And when thou art converted, Peter, strengthen my brethren. Oh, Peter began to take hold. Now, don't you see this? Peter's faith had already failed. Isn't that right? Peter had already failed. Everything had already failed. Peter didn't have anything to hang on to except the words of God. Isn't that right? He'd already failed. He couldn't hold on to his righteousness. He'd already failed. But he heard the words of God saying, Peter, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, Peter. And that rang in Peter's heart and rang in Peter's mind. And Peter shook himself and got up and took hold of it. And he was so sorrowful for what he'd done that he went out there and he stood bravely and boldly for Christ and preached the gospel. And when time came that they closed in on him, Peter said, I'm not worthy to die like Jesus. I'm not worthy to die like the Lord. And it is said in history they turned him upside down and crucified him. Like I said the other night, when old brother Polycarp stood before the flames and they said, won't you deny him? He said, he's never done me no wrong. He said, why should I deny him now? Why should I deny him now? I'm going to close in just a minute, but I want to say this. Let me tell you something, folks. That same Jesus they led to Calvary. They placed the nails in his hands. And the Roman soldiers that looked upon him, the ones that stood there and looked at him, there as they stood and beheld him, hanging there with the cruel nails in his hands. The heavens turned black, and the mountains began to tremble, and the rocks began to break into pieces, and the Roman soldiers got afraid, and they began to cry out, said, "Surely, surely this must have been the Son of God." They didn't believe, but about that time, everything began to shake, and they became exceedingly afraid. And they said, "It must be the Son of God." And then, after a while, Joseph of Arimathea came by and begged the body and put it in a tomb. Everything seemed to be over. Everybody began to get a little courage. The PhDs began to say, I told you it wasn't the coming Messiah. Some imposter. I told you it wasn't the right time. You see that fellow, the pestilence gone, just like all the rest. But on the third morning, on Easter morning, Mary run down to the tomb. And on Easter morning, there come another quaking. On that third day, the ground began to tremble again like it did at Calvary. And it began to shake. And the Bible said the angel of God came and stood by the tomb. And the keepers stood like dead men and like they had a heart attack as he stood there. And the Bible said the grave shook, and all of a sudden the big boulder just said, "Shoo!" out of the way. And up came Jesus, walked out of the tomb, walked right out of it. The same Jesus that had been put in the ground. The keepers ran their way and they screamed out, "He's risen from the dead. He's risen from the dead." What those disciples said has come to pass. This man has come up out of the ground. He's risen from the dead. And they said, "You can't tell folks this." Said, "Here, we'll give you some money. Keep your mouth shut. Just say that some of his disciples came and stole him away." He said, "Don't say this." But the Bible said for 40 days he was seen on the disciples. For 40 days he talked to them. The ground shook. The grave opened. And the Bible said men like Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac got up out of the ground, got up out of the tomb, and began to walk through the city of Jerusalem. And no doubt somebody said, "Hey, ain't that Abraham?" Somebody said, "Ain't that Isaac?" Somebody said, "Ain't that Jacob?" And they begin to get afraid. Them patriarchs come up out of the ground and begin to walk through the city. And no doubt somebody said, "Man, that looks just like what I always thought Abraham would look like. That looks like what I've always been told Jacob looked like." And they're walking through the earth. They're walking through the city. The Bible said the saints arose from the grave and walked through the city. Isn't that something? God took them right on to paradise. After 40 days of testimony, they saw there was a resurrection. And he took them on into paradise. And that same Jesus stood over on the mountain when he come out, appointed a place for him to meet him and said, "Meet me over here." They went over there to the mountain, got over at the Mount of Olivet. Judas having committed suicide, 11 of them got over there with him. And there they stood. And Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." He said, "Go ye therefore baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, making disciples of all men, teaching them." And the Bible said that those 11 men went one Sabbath day's journey, got back over here to Jerusalem, left the Mount of Olivet. As Jesus ascended up, the angel said, "He'll so come again, back to the same mountain. He's due to come now, brother. And the mountain is the cleaving half." And Peter stood boldly on the day of Pentecost, and they said, "What must we do?" And Peter said, "Men and brethren, let me tell you." He said, "Repent of your sins, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." He said that you might receive the gift of the Spirit or of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
The Bible said 3,000 in one day was added to the church, and the first church was set up. You know what church this is? This is the first church. Hallelujah. This ain't the Methodists, and this ain't the Baptists, and this ain't the Pentecostals, and this ain't the church of whatever you call it, but this is Christian people, the restoration of the early apostolic church and the teachings of Jesus Christ. The same message yesterday, today, and forever, I tell you, the same thing that Peter told you, repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and unto your children, and to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The same age-old message hasn't changed a bit. I want you to stand with me. Let's sing a little chorus together. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me. Go leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. If you will trust and never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fan, just remember in God's word how He fed the little birds. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it with me. Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. While we sing this again, I wonder tonight if you could just step out. Might be something in your heart, something you'd like to do, like to get in touch with God. Maybe you're bound tonight. Maybe bound in your spirit. Maybe something is wrong. You need a helping hand. God wants to help you. And while we sing again, I want you to come, if you will. If you need anything tonight, I want you to come. Let's sing it again. Go leave it there. Go leave it there.
burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Sing it again, one more time. Go leave them there. Go leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave them there. If you'll trust and never doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. I feel God. Don't you feel God tonight? I feel the moving of the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel the Spirit. I believe God wants to help you tonight. If you'll surrender your spirit, surrender your heart tonight, just yield to God. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I tell you, folks, you got a chance to escape the flames tonight. We're close to the mark of the beast. We're close to the coming of the Lord. And you got a chance to escape tonight. Let's escape while we can. Let's escape while we can. Let's don't wait too late. Press our dying pillar and wish that we'd made a change. You say, but I'm afraid that somebody might say something. I'd rather somebody would think bad of me than God think bad of me. I'd rather that somebody would see me and say something about it than to say something evil about me otherwise. Let's sing, can we? I sang this little chorus together. Give me another key, sister. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me with the trials I go through. Sing it with me. Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light. When I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Oh, yes, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, something happened, and now I know that he touched me and he made me whole. Don't you love him tonight? Jesus touched me. Let's sing this little chorus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, I need thee now. My Savior, oh, how I need thee. Sing it like this now. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once
again, so let him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, listen to my Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his sweet voice. Don't turn him away. Can we sing this? Give me another key, sister. When he reached down his hand for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me. Sing it again. When I was near to despair, when he came to me there, I was wretched and blind as I could be. But my Savior, in love, he looked down from above. When he reached down his hand for me. Sing it with me. When my Savior reached down for me, oh, when he reached away down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me. Tonight, God is reaching for you, but it won't be long, not very long, and the doors to the Gentile world is going to be closed, folks. The door is almost closed to the Gentile church. I preached the other night on the mark of the beast and the setup that they're using. This very month, remember, this very month is already being set up out in the western part of the world. This very month, the mark of the beast being set in order this very month out in the western part of the world. That means that it can't be but a few more days. If the mark of the beast is that close, how close is the rapture? Are you ready? I ask you from my heart tonight, are you ready? Are you actually going home into your bedroom and getting by yourself? Folks, I do this.
Get by yourself and talk to God and ask God, is everything right between you and Him? Do you get there and really get down to business and say, Lord, help me, is everything right between me and you? My wife today come out of my room crying. She'd been on her knees praying, talking to God. And I looked, she was wiping the tears from her eyes. Had been in a long time talking, asking God if everything was right between her and Him. Folks, Jesus is coming. Something is taking place. You don't want to be lost. You know you don't want to be lost. We got to do something about it. The Bible said, save yourself from this underworld generation. Do something about it. Lest you repent, He said, every one of you will perish. That means we got to do something about it. We got to make an effort. We got to get saved, folks. I want to sing another chorus or two before we close. I just feel like singing another one. We sang the chorus, Let Go, and Let God Have His Wonderful Way. Let's see if we can sing that tonight. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows all will vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Can you let go tonight? Can you let go tonight? Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows all will vanish, and your night turn to day. Let go and let God have His way. Sing this one. We'll overcome. We'll overcome. I can believe we'll overcome someday. Sing it with me. We'll walk the streets of gold. We'll walk the streets of gold. I can believe walk the streets of gold someday. You really believe that? You really believe that you're going to overcome? All right, we're going to sing this one chorus. And I'm going to ask my son David Paul, while I'm singing this chorus, to come and take the mic tonight. Finish the chorus out. Finish this service out and dismiss us. But before I do, before I start this course, tonight, if you haven't repented in your heart, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, I want you to do it. Now you might say, Brother Pike, how can I know? How can I know which way to go? And how can I know what to do? I'm going to tell you. Oh, there's one ain't but one way to God. There's one ain't but one way to God. Oh, there's one ain't but one way to God. Baptized in Jesus' name. There is one ain't but one way to God. One ain't but one way to God. Oh, there's one ain't but one way to God. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. Sing it again. Oh, there's one ain't